This week we are looking at the story of Abraham. Abraham is without a doubt probably the most popular character actually of the Old Testament in the New Testament. In the New Testament, whenever they are looking for an example of faithfulness or of righteousness, Abraham seems to be the one that they turn to in terms of being the example. This is true for those in the New Church. It's also true for the Jews in the New Testament. They took great pride that they were the descendants of Abraham. That was their great claim to fame and to authority and to power. So Abraham is one of the most important characters of the Old Testament and of the New Testament. The story that Lolo read for us earlier today was the story about the promise made to Abraham that he would have a child to carry on the line and to become the father of many, many nations. But I want to tell you two other stories about Abraham today, and I think these three stories speak to that question of faithfulness and what does it mean to be faithful in this world. The first story I want to tell is I want to go back three chapters earlier than Genesis 15. I want to go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It's interesting that we just sang the song, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go, because Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 begins, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." The first commandment to Abraham, or Abram as he's known at this point, is to get up and leave his home. Think about that. To get up and to leave your home. To leave your country, your people, your father. To leave all these things and go to the place that I will show you. God gives a tremendous challenge to Abraham here at the very beginning. As far as we can tell, this area of Haran that they live in at this particular point would have been up along the Tigris and the Euphrates River. It would have been part of what we would consider modern-day Syria or modern-day Iraq up there. The other thing we know about Abraham at this particular point is that he was not a poor person. When Abraham leaves and heads towards this new country that he's been ordered to go to by God, he does not go along. It says in verse 5, or actually we'll start in verse 4, "So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran." So he didn't lead off with just him and his wife on a donkey. He brought herds and cattle and a lot of things with him. And this is important to understand, because moving in those circumstances doesn't make a lot of sense. Many of you have immigrants, forefathers, who came in many cases from Sweden or from another country. And if your experience is the experience of most Swedish immigrants, it wasn't the rich Swedes who came to America. It was the poor Swedes. We always say when we're teaching immigration in history, we teach two very basic principles, that there is always a push and a pull. The push is what's going wrong with where I'm at that makes me want to leave. Usually I'm hungry, starving, oppressed. And then there's the pull, where is the better place to go? It's interesting if you think about those in terms of Abraham being asked to leave. First of all, there is no push. There's no reason for Abraham to leave. He has a very comfortable, very successful life there in Haran. There is no reason for him to want to leave. And additionally, there is no pull. Where he's going down into the area we now know as Israel is actually not nearly as good a country as he would have been leaving in Haran. The opportunity to grow crops and to make a living would actually be less in this new place he is going to. But this is part of his faithfulness. He ignores the lack of a push. He ignores the lack of a pull, and yet he is obedient to God. And that is where he shows his faithfulness. He goes to a place that is no better than where he is, but he does it because God has called him to do that. So the first thing that we see about Abraham in terms of understanding why he's a great person of faith is this willingness to go where God has commanded him to go. But there's a second thing at work here. And this is one we don't think about, and it carries on being a theme through the rest of the story of Abraham. Any of you ever thought about being a pioneer? Just think of our pioneers here in America, say back in the 1800s. Say you and your wife have a farm in Ohio, and you hear that Minnesota's being opened up, and there's nice, new, wonderful farmland in Minnesota. Are you likely to maybe want to pursue that and try and get a better farm? Probably. Particularly if you're not doing, like my family, very good in Ohio. Let's try in Minnesota. But even if you've been reasonably successful, you might look at it and say, I might be more successful if I went to Minnesota. But now let's imagine you and your wife are in your late 50s, early 60s, and you have no children. How likely are you going to try to go through the hardship of moving to Minnesota to make a better life for yourself? You probably won't. Going to the frontier is always the job of families. To go and establish a new farm, what's the purpose in doing that if you have no one to hand it off to when you're gone? What would it be like to move out to some new unsettled part of the country, create a big, huge farm, a big, huge estate, and then have no one to give it to? To be an adventurer, to be somebody who moves forward and opens up new lands and new ideas is usually compelled by a sense of posterity of who am I going to pass these things on to? So in Genesis 12, it's surprising Abraham doesn't say to God, well, why would I want to do this? I'm 75 years old. I have no children. What is the benefit of doing this? But while he doesn't mention it in Genesis 12, it soon comes up. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6 that Lolo read for us today. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, here's God telling him, I am your shield, your great reward. And Abraham looks at him and says, but God, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Look what Abraham's saying. God, you've given me a lot, but what is the point of giving it to me if I have no one to pass it on to? It's that statement of futility of success when there is no future to pass it on to. Then the word of the Lord in verse 4 comes to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he takes Abram outside and he says, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And he said, so shall your offspring be. And in verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So in the first case, in going to leave, you have a faithfulness that is shown in obedience to a challenge. Go and move to this new country. Now he's in the new country, and he has a new call upon his faithfulness. And this is the idea of, why am I doing all of this? Who is going to inherit, and who is going to take this over? And God says to him, even though you are old, you will have a son. And notice what it says in verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. This is the second thing that Abraham does in terms of faith. He believes in something, he has faith in something, that when he cannot see any way that it can happen, he takes the word of the Lord at face value and the promise of the Lord at face value, though he can't see the way forward. Of course, we know that eventually he has two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael is his effort to kind of push the situation along. I'll take another wife, a younger wife than Sarah, and then I'll be able to have a child. But that's not the answer God has. God is faithful, and God ends up giving him a child with Sarah, even though they are well beyond the age of having children. And that child is Isaac. But in Genesis 15, Abraham shows his faith by believing in what seems impossible for God to provide. The third story I want to share with you comes 10 chapters later in Genesis. As we say, God has provided to him a son, two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael, he is sent off with his mother into exile so that the way of Isaac will be clear to inherit what he has. But now in Genesis 22, verse 1, sometime later God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. This has got to be one of the harshest sentences in the Bible. After promising Abraham a future, all of these descendants, after providing him a son, God now turns to Abraham and say, take your son, travel with him to Moriah, and there sacrifice him on an altar. In a sense, he's telling him, wipe out your future. Wipe out your future. It's interesting. The scripture doesn't show Abraham arguing. Early the next morning, Abraham gets up and saddles his donkey, takes with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. Now, we know the story. He goes there. He travels there with Isaac. He sets up the altar. He puts the wood on the altar. And Isaac says, well, didn't we forget something? Didn't we forget the animal that we're supposed to be sacrificing to God here? And Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And when they get to the place and the altar is ready, he binds his son Isaac and lays him on the altar on top of the wood. And he reaches out his hand to take the knife to slay his son, to slay his future, his posterity. Now, of course, we know the good news is an angel of the Lord cries out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. this act of faithfulness is recounted both by Paul and the Apostle James in their epistles in the New Testament as being the ultimate example of faithfulness in the world. That Abraham does not question and is willing to sacrifice his posterity at the call of God. All three of these show the faithfulness of Abraham. The faithfulness exhibited in his willingness to go, to change his life, his willingness to have faith in what he couldn't imagine, and his willingness to be faithful in obedience to the call of God, even in doing something that seemed like the end of the world to him. Hearing just these stories, it becomes clear why Abraham is the example of what it means to be faithful in the Old Testament. Now, we've covered a range of about 15 chapters here, and if you read the rest of the story, there's times when he screws up. There's times when he doesn't do things the right way. He's not perfect in everything. But at these points, when God comes to him and commands him, he is always faithful. And of course, what that means for us is, can we also be as faithful as Abraham? I don't think we're going to face the exact challenges that Abraham faced. We probably won't be asked to move hundreds of miles to a new and strange land. We probably won't see a miracle of having a child at the age of 100. And we probably won't be asked by God to sacrifice our child on an altar. But as I thought of the story of Abraham this week, I think his story does have something to say to each and every one of us in terms of our walk of faith. It ties in a little bit with what we were discussing in Sunday school this morning. The first thing we talked about in Sunday school this morning was conversion. And that's how I really see the first story we heard of Abraham tonight. Because what is conversion really at its heart? What does it mean to come to faith? What it means is to turn from one thing to another thing. And to have the confidence to turn from what we have put our faith in to something new. And I think that's what God calls Abraham to in the first story we heard from Genesis 12. He says to Abraham, leave the country in which you've been comfortable, safe, and everything's okay, and I want you to leave all of that behind and come and start something new. And I think that's what God invites each and every one of us to. He invites us at some point in our lives to take all of the comfort, all of the things we have known, and he asks us to put those aside and to instead follow him. That is the first step of faithfulness, being willing to go where God calls us to go. And it may not be in a geographic sense, but it certainly will be in a psychological and a behavioral sense as he calls us to become a new creation in Jesus Christ. The second story of wanting a child goes to the idea that faithfulness also resides in having confidence in what we can't see. All of us have that confidence, for God has made a promise to each and every one of us that in the end we will enter into his eternal kingdom. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I don't know what that kingdom's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I must live with confidence in what I have not seen. And ultimately having confidence, as Abraham did, that the word of God is true. And so a second call to faithfulness for all of us is to believe in God and have confidence in God, even when we can't see how what he's promising to us is possible. It demands us to put tremendous confidence and faith in him, rather than in ourselves. And just as Abraham needed to do that, we need to do that too. For many of the things God has promised us, we do not see in the world. And we certainly don't see what he has for us following this world. But yet we need to be faithful and to be confident. And lastly, we get to Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. We're all going to undergo testing. There's going to be points in our life where we look at what we've been taught in our Sunday school classes, in our churches, from the pulpit, from our reading of Scripture. And we may reach a point where suddenly things aren't going the way we thought they were supposed to go. It seems like God perhaps wants us to do something we couldn't imagine God ever calling on us to do. Can we in that moment be faithful? Or perhaps it is the call of God to not do something that we are longing to do. Something we so desperately want to do, but when we look at the Scripture and we look at the Word of God, we go, this isn't where God wants me to go. Can we be faithful in that moment and obedient to Christ? Be obedient to God. Abraham is the greatest of these patriarchs. He is the greatest example of faith. For he turns and follows God when God calls him. He has faith in that which he cannot see. And in the end, he has the faith to do that which is unimaginable, because God has called him to it. Can Abraham be our example of faith as we go through our Christian journey and our Christian walk? Turning to him and putting our confidence in him, having faith in that which we cannot see, and being faithful to the end to his word, regardless of what the call and demands of this world are. Then too will we be faithful, as Abraham was faithful, and as it was recognized by God and by man, so that we may live lives that are righteous in the sight of God, now and forever. Amen.